of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Welcome to Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm Aaron Lingley, as always joined by my friend, co-host, and your Alliance Council President, Gorilla FC President, and the Communications Director for the Independent Supporters Council, Cameron Collins.
What up?
Hello, my friend.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's Friday. It's Friday. We're recording on the 24th. This is going to be an Open Cup special, so it can live. Obviously, we play an MLS match tomorrow, and then another one on Wednesday, and another one the following week, so we'll figure out when we'll do another MLS episode.
Yeah, but luckily this Open Cup gives us a little break here where we're not going to have
month.
Another...
Over a month.
July 6th or something like that. The Wednesday after 4th of July, which I think... No, it's the day after Angel Reese comes to town and plays the Storm.
Yeah, and then when are we going to...
June 27th, my birthday.
June 27th.
We are going to see Caitlin Clark and the Fever play.
That's your birthday?
Yeah.
No shit. Okay.
Going to play at the Storm. They just played there last night, actually. The Storm won, and the Fever have dropped to 0-5 because guess what? The reason they had the number one pick was they were the worst team in the WNBA. So just because you get a superstar player doesn't mean you're automatically not going to be the worst team.
Also doesn't mean you're a superstar right away.
Right. I mean, she's doing good. She's... but. No break, right? They go straight from killing college to like a 2-week break to then playing the WNBA. It's wild. Before we do more non-scuttlebutt, I've got something because Party Rich left it at my house because I didn't go to the game on Wednesday.
Who?
Party Rich, Richard Oliver.
Oh. The Rich I know?
Yeah. We went and saw Madness. We've had tickets for months and months. Yeah. So we didn't get to go to the game. I had to watch it after. But I got a San Juan Seltzer Oregon Pear, so.
Oh.
Ah.
Boozing it up. Wait, San Juan hard?
Yeah, it is.
Look at you.
It's good. It tastes kind of like a Spike times 2, 8.4%. This is double the alcohol, man.
Oh, man.
This is going to be a wild episode.
I know.
This is on now. This is a... this is good. It tastes like, you know, how you can get pear ciders. It tastes like a pear cider, essentially.
Cute.
What about you? What are you drinking over there?
I already cracked it open because it's been a long day. It's been a long week. But I have two more. So
good.
I might not be the... I don't know the ABV. 7%, not far behind. Oh, shit. So I'll have three of those. This is going to be fun by the end of the show. It is Fort George.
Oh.
It's good. Good brewery. I actually really like them. Magnetic Fields, Hazy, India, Pale Ale.
I wonder if it's named after the band, Magnetic Fields. How is it?
Oh, it's delicious. I'm not a big hazy. Well, I'll drink anything. Let's be honest. But except for whatever that gummy crap was.
Oh yeah, you did not like that.
Did not like that. No, I did not. But I'll drink anything. But yeah, even though it's an Oregon brewery, it's not Portland. But Fort George, they have a couple other really good stuff. But yeah, so we'll get boozed up.
And we're here to talk about a win, which will be nice because it was a odd, rough, kind of rough day for some Seattle teams and good for others with the Mariners dropping 6-1. So you don't need to watch the game. They lost 6-1.
I did watch it, actually.
Oh, you did? Okay. They led 1-0 and then
East
blew
Coast,
it.
So it was on early. So I started as soon as I got home.
Yeah, rain fell 3-2 to the Washington Spirit, unfortunately. So a loss there. Your Seattle Superhawks came away with a, get this, 172-93 win down in Eugene against the Emerald City Jaguars because they named their team Emerald City for some stupid reason because they tried to steal the nickname in the 80s.
What city is it, though?
Eugene.
Oh, you said that?
Yeah. So, unfortunately, though, Vancouver beat Salem 95, 92, I believe was the final score, something to that effect. And 95, 91, maybe. It was a 4-point win with a couple free throws at the end to keep the Superhawks at the number two seed heading into the playoffs. And we now have a playoff game, play-in game to play against the number one seed against most likely Salem next Tuesday when we'll be at Pearl Jam. This will be the first game in our two-year existence where I have not been there to run the stream. So it's going to be interesting because I'll be at Pearl Jam with you.
It's a good excuse not to go. What Vancouver is it? Is it the
Washington?
Vancouver. Okay, not the Vancouver.
Yep, it's Vancouver, Washington. We did have some other local games though that I definitely wanted to bring up with you.
Ballard
home opener tonight against Mid Lakes United. They won 4-1. Big win. It was 1-1 early on after a big mistake. But
what's that kid's name? Takeda?
I don't know.
You see
I haven't been following them close enough, but.
Like a volley from like 25 yards out.
Wow, it's awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah. The call was great too. The guy cracked his voice, but then he owned up to it too. He's like, the call was so good, I cracked my voice. It was pretty awesome.
Other local USL results. West Seattle Junction got their first win of the season after tying Portland U23-22. Last match, they beat Lane United 1-0 to keep their season going undefeated, which is pretty exciting. And then there was another game. Oh, Tacoma Stars beat FC Olympia 4-1. So that was, that's a big game because Tacoma Stars, of course, are new to the USL 2 this year, and FC Olympia is as well. I think there's now two Olympia teams, but those were today's.
Teams in Olympia?
Yeah, because there's FC Olympia and then there's Olytown.
Wow.
So those were today's
hotbed.
Games. Unfortunately, yes.
Hotbed.
Yeah, we're a hotbed of soccer. It's true. Unfortunately, I think yesterday, or no, 2 days ago, one of my favorite teams, Minneapolis City, fell 3-0 to St. Croix. So rough start for some of the teams in the USL 2, but man, there's some fun teams. Did we talk about this? Let's make our own USL team.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, let's Everett. Do it. Let's the Scuttlebutt United playing in Everett.
I'm not a fan of just throwing United in there. Like West Seattle Junction, that's a dope name.
All right. Scuttlebutt planes blowing up because we don't make them well, and we're Boeing, and Boeing's in Everett's.
Or the Everett Sunken Subs.
Oh. Except for that guy lived
too
in...
Soon.
He lived in Broadmoor here in Seattle. It used to be parked in his driveway where the owner of the Superhawks lived, so she was like, I used to drive by his house all the time, and it would just be sitting there in his driveway. Little did she know, it would later implode and kill a poor, unfortunate teenager and a bunch of rich people who thought they could defeat God.
Defeat God. Yeah. Well, anyway. We should make an Everett one.
We just need to start a Patreon, right?
Didn't we talk about this? We'll start a Patreon. We'll $1,974.
If you want in, maybe we can do actual ownership they haven't been able to do with lots of other teams.
Like pseudo Packers.
Yeah. Sounders tried to do something kind of like it. It's a lawyer's nightmare, though.
Well, we have a lawyer, so that's great. Okay. Yeah.
What about you? Are you hear any other? You brought up a pre episode scuttlebutt that I think I'd like to discuss.
Like what I mentioned. Oh, well, okay. Yeah. So if we also mentioned the city of Vancouver, if you spent $1,400 to go to the Vancouver Miami match, you're going to see Robert Taylor because it doesn't sound like Sergio Busquets, Luis Suarez, or Mr. Messi himself are making the trip. Can you imagine?
Ugh. I mean, Robert Taylor's great. He's not $1,200 great.
Yeah. Was that your conversion? Because I said $1,400.
Oh, you said $1,400?
Probably right on point.
$1,400 is about 15 American. $15. Isn't the dollar much stronger than theirs?
Yeah. At least Vancouver's a beautiful city and it's fun to be there.
It's actually $1,023.13.
Okay.
But still, you paid a grand to go see Drake Calendar.
And so what they're doing, I read the statement. I'm not going to read it here because it's a fucking statement. But they're basically like, you know, you're still coming to see a great team, eh? So come on down. Everything's half off. You know, there'll be some discounts for under 18. Let's still make a fun show of it, huh?
Yeah.
I guess that's what you got to do, but you're not going to get money back, right?
So, no.
And it's a risk you take. That's what I'm not spending $1,400 to see Messi. I'm not doing it.
Unless it's in a World Cup final.
Yeah, unless I am Argentinian, I'm not doing that.
Well, I have this to say.
Best seats are still on TV, but why are you annoyed?
Because that hurts us. Now we know how they play without Messi. Now they don't have three of their best players. And so I'm just a little disappointed that Vancouver's going to win and get those 3 points because they're one of the teams a little bit ahead of us. And we have a little bit of a rough road, especially with more injuries that we get to talk about today. So it's frustrating and, you know, well, this is a U.S. Open Cup episode, so I know we won't be talking about that. The game this weekend that much, but it just frustrates me.
Well, we can talk about injuries, right? Like,
sure.
What? Okay, so blah blah blah. Vancouver. Who? You know me. I'm not following the news that much until I like 5 minutes before I get on. Well, who's hurt?
Well, I mean, we have the same players that have been hurt are hurt, okay, and then, but they added. We got definitive news on who is out for this weekend. So Josh Atencio is out with a hamstring. Jonathan Bell is out with a hamstring. Leo Chu is out with an adductor. Nathan is out with a quad. Bradilio is out with a hamstring. And Pedro de la Vega is questionable with a hamstring. So,
okay, well, at least we know Pedro's is just... But, okay, I thought maybe there'd be something a little more long-term. So.
No, it's just, you know, Atencio.
Jonathan Bell's like, kind of a bummer, though, because he's our depth.
I mean,
he's
we knew
the other option.
He went down like that. He was clearly hurt when he went down.
Yeah.
So yeah. Oh, and I'd be remiss if I did not miss what you shared with me, which was the brawl in the Tacoma Rainiers game.
Oh yeah. Okay. Is that yesterday. What you were mentioning? Not the Vancouver thing?
No. That I was meant Vancouver, but I just happened to go to Twitter to see a post that I wanted to respond to for this
base
show.
Brawl.
And I see the brawl where the other team hit a 2-run home run to go up 11-2, and then there was a bench clearing brawl with the Rainiers getting into it.
Yeah, he's like, so the guy hit the opposing team, I don't know who Reno, hits it, right? And I don't know any context previous to this in the game, because I'm not watching the game. It was just a video on baseball vids. So, rounding first, he's almost to second, and you can see him jawing towards home plate, right?
Yeah.
So he's either jawing at the pitcher, showing him up, which is, I mean, you can bat flip. You can be excited. I'm all about that. I love that that entertainment aspect of baseball, and it's coming back, right? But leave the pitcher alone. Unless he was saying shit.
Yeah, there could have been stuff.
Then the gloves are off. That's fine.
I'm all for it.
Right?
Yeah. Anything that leads to a brawl in baseball, I'm for it. Especially it depends on what it is. Like, when there was the brawl between the Mariners and the Angels last year that turned the Mariners season around with Winker.
True.
That was the Angels being little chuds who threw at our players and then got mad when we decided to retaliate. And it's like, come on, man. You started this. Yeah. Stop being little whiners.
They started it the season before, too.
Yeah.
But so he's rounding second, and the shortstop, I presume, based on his position, was kind of like, dude, keep moving, like, shut the fuck up. And then he jaws at him, gives him an up and down, and like, yeah, what? And then so he's halfway to third, and the shortstop's like, no. It just starts running after him. And so he turns around before he gets to third, and then as they get close to each other, throws his helmet, and then swings at him. Barely kind of hits him pretty good with the helmet right on the chin, barely connects with the fist, and then it's a mayhem after that. Never gets to home plate. I think the score was like 9-2 though, so like
before the home run, so that would have made it 11-2.
Yeah, well, and they did score. I did see the score go to 10, and I didn't see if it went up to 11, but he never touched home plate.
Yeah,
but not that it mattered. But anyway, yeah, brawls in baseball, and it was Tacoma getting viral.
Yeah, super fun. Super fun. I'm for it. As long as no one gets hurt, obviously, we don't want people getting hurt. Yeah.
Didn't I say I wanted hockey fights in MLS like yeah. 2 seasons ago?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, allow it. Come on. Just like let it happen. Let us get that. That should have been a fucking penalty energy out.
Right? Yeah, and I think I talked about it on the last episode where there was a brawl at the Superhawks game, didn't I? Did I mention that? Two of the players for the opposing team waited outside of our locker room at halftime because the referees sent the teams down the wrong sides of the gymnasium to get to the locker rooms. And so all our players went down at the same time as two of theirs. And so they waited there to confront us when they were already, they were like hacking us and their coach tripped one of our players, not on purpose, but it was wild. Then a brawl broke out and I saw a player running down there. So I followed and ran down and I had to break up the brawl. So there's all these guys that are like 6'10". 7-1. I'm like separating them. Luckily, I was only really scared of Robert Upshaw, who's like, I think he's like 6'11, 370. So he was the only one I was super scared of. And he was really only scared of him. He backed up. So right, I was able to break up the fight.
Mr. Big Balls.
It was pretty wild, and there was blood and broken glass. It could have been really bad. And
Where did the glass come from?
All right. One of the, you know, the fire hoses in the wall that have glass over them?
I was going to say, is someone like swinging around a fire?
Yeah, one got smashed and glass went everywhere. And one of our players got cut up. It was pretty scary. And then Wenatchee got in a brawl on the court the next game at Salem. So if you were wondering who's at fault, both times it's Wenatchee.
We got base brawl and basket brawl.
That's right. Shout out to... where I just had his name up here on Twitter, Drink the Yeti, who, after I mentioned that we are hamstrung with injuries, like I said on the show last week, he's wondering what's going on with Braudelio Rodriguez, who's been out for like the whole season with a hamstring. And I don't know. I don't know if we brought him back too early and he got hurt again or what, but that's a good point. Like, how do we have a player that's been out, what, at this point, 4 months, 3 months, with a hamstring injury? That seems... Like, did he tear it? What is going on?
I'm surprised no one's asked that question.
Maybe we'll text Jackson and be like, hey, ask this question.
Should do it right now.
It's 10:30. He might be asleep.
It's Friday night.
He gets up super early, though, so.
That's his fault.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, I'll text him. Maybe he'll mention it during the show. Yeah.
So Open Cup.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. Just trying to keep myself on track with the 7% beer. Mm-hmm. There is some... I went on Reddit. I made a Sounders scuttlebutt on Reddit. Look at me getting all social. For some scuttlebutt. We got the Maximus Dorcas. Did Dempsey get his suspension extended again?
Yeah.
Absolutely. What kind of dinner... And this is Roger Lebeck, 24. What kind of dinner should Leyva buy Alex and Kalani? So, yeah.
For the penalty, is that what he's saying? Because he got the first penalty? The terrible tackle?
Did Leyva earn that?
Yeah, he was the one who took him down from behind.
Oh, now I'm getting the context of the joke slash question.
So it's the two goals.
Yeah, that was a terrible penalty.
Yeah,
that was a terrible penalty. Oh, I did watch the match. What should Leyva buy them?
Dinner. I think that's good. Treat him up. Give him some teriyaki. We need more teriyaki now that Nuhu is in my dog. Now that he's in my doghouse, we needed someone else who likes teriyaki because teriyaki is the greatest thing. And it's Seattle's meal.
Is it really?
Yeah, it was invented in Seattle.
I knew it wasn't an actual like native to Japan dish, but it was invented here.
Yeah, it was a restaurant that was a Japanese restaurant that took like the sweet Hawaiian sauce and mixed them together and made teriyaki right here in Seattle. That's why
Kalani Hawaiian?
I believe he is. He went to UW, of course, and so it's cool to see a local guy having such a big impact there. But yeah, teriyaki is started in Seattle, and it's why you find teriyaki on more corners than you will find Starbucks in Seattle. And why it's better here than anywhere else in the United States.
Well, also, yeah, it also makes sense why I'm like the East Coast. My wife's from the East Coast. She's like, we don't have like any good teriyaki. I'm like, that's amazing here. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's because it's a Seattle food product from shows the power of immigrants and why we should let as many in as possible.
Yeah. Kalani, well, he's from California. And his Wikipedia isn't big enough yet. But maybe after that flip, it'll start growing. But early life from Berkeley.
Yeah, well, I mean, some I think his first name just sounds kind of Hawaiian. Kosa Rienzi. I don't know if it's very
I don't want to profile Pacific Islander name during Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander month. But
he was born in Berkeley, the free state of Berkeley.
The free state of Berkeley?
Yeah, they've multiple times tried to declare themselves their own kingdom or a free state, separate and not part of the United States.
Cool. I think I'm good on. We didn't really fairly 90 minute warning to that we were going to record, so Scuttlebutt is well as dry, other than that silliness. So thanks, Maximus and Roger. We got some Instagram is you saying how beautiful we are.
Oh, why, yeah, we are beautiful.
Why are the hosts so handsome?
Yeah, true.
But I did post on Instagram. Look at me go.
You did. Proud of you.
Liked by you and my lovely wife. Yes. We're growing.
It was awesome.
Yeah, well, anyway.
I have one more question.
I'll get Instagram.
We may have talked about this, and I'm just too deep into a 8.4% double alcohol San Juan seltzer. Did we ever discuss Jesse Marsh becoming the head coach of Canada?
No.
Jesse Marsh became the head coach of Canada with money.
March or Marsh?
Marsh.
Okay.
You know, the highest, I think he's the highest an American coach has ever gone to coach in a club capacity. As far as I know, I don't think there's been a Premier League. I think he coached. Yeah, wasn't he in the bottom of the Premier League this year or last year? Maybe.
You're asking me if I know the managers of Premier League, other than like
I don't know. But anyways, the owner of Toronto, the owner of Montreal, and the owner of Vancouver are all paying for him. He was the coach of Leeds before. You know, he was in the U.S. He played for D.C. and Chicago and Chivas. He's coached Leeds United, and he did win the Siggy Schmid Coach of the Year Award one year when he was in the MLS. I'm not sure who he was coaching for at the time, but big up-and-coming coach. I think maybe New York Red Bulls. Big up-and-coming coach that really became, when he became a manager at Red Bull Salzburg is when he started making noise. Was awesome there, went on to be the coach of Red Bull Leipzig, did well there, then became the coach at Leeds.
The Red Bulls.
So he went from the Red Bulls and they saw them and took them there. And of course, coached at Princeton and a few other places, Montreal, when they were a minor league team, I believe. But he is now the Canadian coach. He's being paid for by the MLS team owners, essentially, because U.S. or Canada soccer can't afford it. Did I say U.S. of Canada? Yes.
I meant like the MLS clubs Canada.
Yep. Vancouver, Montreal, and the other one.
Yeah, it's already updated on Wiki.
But I'm kind of annoyed because I would have liked to have seen him named the Sounders coach. To have a coach of that quality with that kind of resume would have been amazing. And I'm not sold that we're going to have our coach make it through this season, especially after the U.S. Open Cup performance. Yeah, we bailed it out at the end, but I was not pleased with what I saw in that game.
Yes. Oh, so you're saying you're hoping that Canada would have pulled Schmetzer?
Or we would have just
Jesse
fired
Marsh
Schmetzer
would have been
and hired
and would
March.
Have been our next coach.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're upset he's off the table or not?
Correct. Because he was the highest.
He just started as a new coach.
Right. He was the highest level.
Yeah.
Coach in available. I mean, Austrian champion twice. Austrian Cup winner twice, and of course won the Supporters Shield with the Red Bulls.
Mm.
So yeah, it's a bummer, but you
I'd
know.
Say that's a hot take, but it kind of really isn't regarding Schmetzer not being our coach because yeah, the seat is hot.
Last show, I said our line is where we had at 20 games because that's where we fired Siggy. When we were down 1-0, I went and looked at how far we got in U.S. Open Cup that match, and I was like, I'm going to start counting U.S. Open Cup matches. But now we're back. We're at the same level we were. We lost in the next round in that one as well. So we're even. So it's still yet to be seen, but we still have 6 games left with some tough games coming up and some games we should win, but you never know with the way we've been playing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we'll save that discussion based on probably 2 outcomes.
Right.
This
St. Louis and Salt Lake.
Yeah, St. Louis and then Salt Lake. And we just played Salt Lake. So that's another, like, that's at home, right? We're not going to Sandy again.
Yes, that one is at home.
We play them 3 times, right? We play our West Coast 3 times.
So that one is at home, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I mean, we could have played Sandy again, but it would be kind of weird if it was back-to-back this close. So at home, yeah. I mean, you're definitely looking at almost no excuse to be surprised by tactics if you're, I mean, like.
And it's not in Sandy, so we don't have the high altitude. We don't have the just how good that venue is for them.
Yeah, so a side conversation of every episode is just going to be where Schmetzer at based on the Ziggy line. Because I think you want, and I know I want him to remain our coach. I want us to be successful first, right?
I want us to win the next six matches.
We love Brian Schmetzer.
Let's win the next 6 matches and make this and put us up into the top 3 in the league. I mean in the West. I think if we win 6 in a row, we would be right up there.
Yeah, but you can't deny that conversation if we keep treading/drowning in water, right?
Yep.
Anyway, should we get to our Open Cup match?
Let's do it.
Should we take a little break here? I cracked a beer. I'm going to chug it while we listen to our fight song. You hinted at it a little bit. You weren't excited about the performance. Happy for the win.
Yep.
But we played Phoenix Rising.
USL championship team, middle of the table.
Mm-hmm. We gave our as knowledgeable preview as we possibly could in the last episode, which basically just look at where they're at in the table, what they've done goal for, and we realized that Louisville, are they Louis City?
Louisville City.
I don't know what they're like to be called, but they were a better club in their respective league, and we happened to beat them in penalties, right? So we both predicted a win for this match.
Yeah,
they did win. We should really track this shit. I know. Tim listens to every episode. Maybe he can call us out. I know Nick listens. Well, a lot of you listen to every episode, but I wish we knew what the prediction was. But I feel like we were something similar probably to what happened. Like,
yeah.
I'm not expecting a blowout. I'm expecting a win, not overtime.
Yeah, I mean, overtime? I wonder how realistic our expectations are. And we talked about this very briefly, but when I think about it, their players are better than most of the players we're starting. They're a USL championship team. They're second division. We're starting a third division club. We're starting mostly Defiance players.
With the seasoning of MLS, right?
Sure. We got the Roldan Bros in there. And there was with Jonathan Bell before he got hurt, and then Reagan after Bell was hurt.
Yeah. So, I guess what's your 30,000 foot on the match?
You know, we did what we needed to get it done. I don't think it should have had to come down to a last minute, or I guess it wasn't truly last minute goal, but, you know, last 10 minute goal. Yeah, I just, it's frustrating, but you know what? At the same time, for Kalani to score that goal, you know, he I think he played some minutes in the last U.S. Open Cup match, if I'm not mistaken. I know he was on the bench. He may not have subbed in. But for him to be in there and play that well, and then score that goal, and more importantly, make that flip. I don't know who took that picture. I don't know if it was Jane or someone else.
Yeah.
Shout out to the photographer that took that. Got that celebration to flip, because that is the coolest thing.
I think, yeah, I don't know if, I saw credit somewhere, Sounders communications team, so I don't know if it was just in-house.
Yeah, Jane, their photographers.
Is she like, in-house?
Yep, Jane and Rod, I think, does some, and Corky, and maybe Max? I'm trying to think of all the in-house ones. So, very well could have been Jane, good friend of the show. Either way, what a great shot. I mean, that's going to be a Sounders, like, legendary shot for all time.
For sure. Kosi was on the, or Kalani was on the bench.
Yeah.
For Louis.
Yep. So, didn't make it in for Louisville. He was training in front of me the whole time, which is why I thought he saw him come in, because he was spent half the game running, literally 2 feet away from me. But
yeah, the app doesn't show this who got subbed on though. It just like rolled Alex got a goal as a substitute, but it doesn't show like what minute that was or who he subbed for. It just shows substitutes rolled on one goal.
Yeah, you're in the wrong apps, because I know ESPN had.
I'm on the Sounders app.
Oh, good job, Sounders. That's unfortunate. I forgot to mention one other thing in Scuttlebutt. Sorry, everyone. I'm going to take us back real quick. Super Size Me director Morgan Spurlock died of cancer today. Huge bummer. You know, I don't think he had the impact after Super Size Me, but that was such an impactful film. And I felt also show Jared from Subway in the real light of what a jerk he was. And now he's in prison for being a pedophile. So
I was going to say jerk is putting it very, very, very mildly.
But it showed that he was a piece of trash by the way he treated kids who were like, I can't afford Subway every day. And because he couldn't be like, well, then just eat healthy. He'd be like, well, Subway's cheap. Like, come on, bro. So he's now in prison. And unfortunately, Morgan Spurlock has passed away. That was such a great film for societal discussion, and also led to Doug Benson's Super High Mead, where he got high for 30 days straight. Another epic film. Yeah. So as a documentarian, I definitely think Morgan Spurlock one way or another had an impact on me. So it was sad to see him pass away from cancer. Only 53, man.
Yeah, way to change this. the show there for a second.
That's okay.
So Kalani, barely, they don't even show him subbing on. And then, yeah, Morgan Spurlock died.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about how the game starts out, where, you know, early on, Sounders can't really score. I think we had more possession, but we were not able to finish. And then, of course, right before halftime, they're in the 45th plus five, I believe, minutes. So we're 50th minute. Danny Leyva takes down a player in the box, and Remy Cabral, the younger brother, and he's actually loaned down from Colorado, of Cabral, the scorer for Colorado, comes in and hits that. Right before that, we had subbed on, in I think 47th minute, we had subbed on Jackson Reagan for Jonathan Bell. Mm-hmm. So we go down 1-0 at the half. Alex comes on for Christian in the 62nd minute. And Dylan Tevez comes off for Snyder Brunel. And then Alex gets a chance to score that penalty to tie the game there in the 68th minute, which was pretty huge. What are you thinking at that point when we tie? Do you feel confident we're going to win?
I thought it was penalties or extra time.
Yeah,
I thought it was extra time. I wasn't convinced. I thought we were the better team. I'm getting this weird, and obviously they're different positions. I feel like we should have seen Georgie score by now for the amount of minutes we've seen him play and how exciting he is, and He had that step over. I think it must have been the first half. I'm trying to think of like the direction I'm watching on the screen and the direction they're going. But yeah. did you watch the replay on YouTube? Because I know you were at the show.
Like the long, like the 18 minute long, not the full 90.
So I don't know. But they
showed a lot of the big plays.
Did you see his step overs where he split two defenders?
Yeah. I mean, he's brilliant.
Like, dude, you are, I want you to keep, and we're feeding him the ball. Right. Like clearly that's the,
I think part of the problem is Danny Masofsky at the top was just not on.
He should have had an assist to Georgie. Yeah. That should have been Georgie's goal. And that's really frustrating. However, I can understand Masofsky and MLS. Would you say journeyman?
Yeah, at least veteran. I mean, he's only a journeyman because of injury.
He's like a Will Bruin-esque. Yeah. Yeah. You know?
That's a really good way to put it. Will Bruin-esque.
Yeah, he was fairly prolific per 90, right? And then he's been on a couple teams, and now he's with the Sounders. I guess Will Bruin went from Houston to us, right? So if he just switched Austin and us. But anyway, Masofsky, like, he's playing in the Open Cup with the kids. He's going to shoot.
Yeah.
He's going to try to say, I should be the one that scores. Although, the right decision, especially when he basically rolled his ankle before that. There was one where he tried to chip the keeper or go right instead of just going near post and basically passing it in. He kind of, a few steps earlier, it looked like he rolled his ankle a little bit and still tried to like complete the process instead of, I don't think that was the Georgie one because that one, that could have been. Either way, he made some wrong decisions. Georgie should have scored. But I think Georgie was like the highlight because he's so exciting to watch.
Yeah.
But I am excited about what I am seeing from the midfield of the kids. Of, you know, I guess
Tevez.
Leyva's not really a kid to me anymore because we've seen him so much. And he looks better than he ever has. And I really want him to, I mean, we're so log jammed, but I like where we're at. I wish we were playing better as an MLS side, that we're up 3-0, that we could get 15, 20 minutes of these, of Leyva and Obed and Atencio, and not rely on like Obed as a midfielder because of our injuries or, you know what I mean? But I still liked what I was seeing. I didn't, as a whole, knowing where we're at in the season, which I think makes the season just kind of so weird to stomach, is the MLS side of things has been really just upsetting and frustrating. Whereas the Open Cup has been, I think, as Open Cup should go, you know, it's been exciting. It's already created. We already have an historic match in the first one, you know, we have the youth playing, we're progressing. Like the Open Cup side of things is, I'm enjoying it. And you only get a handful of matches, right? We might have a blowout next match, and that solves your, you know,
I mean,
doldrums of this match.
Here's my deal: we outshot them 24-8, but possession was roughly the same, and we only had 7 shots on goal for those 24 shots.
What I'll say about possession is we were moving quickly. We were moving through the midfield. I saw a heat map; most of it's pretty narrow. Mm-hmm. And we're moving through the midfield because Phoenix was giving us the space to actually progress through, and we were putting the outlet out to Georgie, or we were doing something with it. So we weren't actually holding the ball and making me as a viewer yawn, because that's what I feel like the Sounders have been doing. They've been possessing the ball to death, trying to create something, and then farting at the end of the field. Yeah. Whereas this one, it seemed like we were moving through, and then maybe the quality wasn't quite there, but at least it was quick. We're moving.
Still farting at the end of the field for the most part, though.
I don't disagree, but I at least can say, well, that's a 17-year-old. That's an 18-year-old. That's a 20-year-old. That's Georgie figuring himself. That's Danny. That was frustrating. Both of them, right? Masofsky and Leyva. Mm-hmm. But I have a lot more patience for the lineup I'm seeing with the Open Cup and the performance I'm seeing with the Open Cup than I have with the MLS side of our
team. Yeah, I mean, I guess that makes sense. So,
I don't disagree with you.
I just feel like, considering we have MLS players in there, and maybe that's the problem, they haven't played together, right? you've seen Rothrock, Tevez, and Georgie play together. You've also seen Roldan and Leyva play together, maybe not at those positions. And we've seen the left side of our backs play together, Nuhu and Bell. But across the field, we haven't seen them all play together. And Masovsky's been not that much. As, you know, he comes in late in games. I did really like to see Stuart Hawkins out there, though. You know, he's on the, what, U16, whatever, World Cup roster? U17. He played, he started three games in the U17 World Cup last year. You know, the U.S. only won the first one, unfortunately, and then got blown out by France and just barely lost to Germany. But it's kind of exciting to see someone of that caliber get some minutes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's got a long ways to go. He's only 16, I think. But
God, 16?
Here's a guy that could, within a couple years, be starting for the Sounders if his path continues. Now, we've said this before. We had other players in the position that we eventually had to let go because they didn't keep developing.
What's his preferred position? What's his best position?
Center back. So he was playing in his preferred position. So he 6'3", 146. He's turned 17 now. So he's 17. And you know, he's played. He did get in for the Louisville match as a sub. No, he started that game too. Did he? I think he might have started that game as well. So. You know, it's cool to see him come in and get some minutes. Not the tallest dude, but at 6'3", I mean, for soccer, that's pretty tall.
That's pretty tall.
Yeah.
146, yeah. Not the heaviest dude.
No. So I think he
did start.
Yeah. So here's a guy who could be one of our players of the future. Looked pretty solid for the most part. You know, what else can we take away from a match like this? I think the biggest thing is, and it's something that I keep having to remind myself, and in the moment when I'm mad and we're losing, I forget this, is that Defiance are no longer in USL Championship. They no longer have the same caliber of player as the USL Championship. So we're playing largely third division players with a few MLS players in against a solid second division team who have all played together before and are in sync midseason.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it makes it harder for the MLS teams, I think. And we've seen that around the league because MLS teams have struggled. Now, I mean,
that's really good perspective.
Now we're getting into the, quarterfinals? And so everything changes.
Yeah, how do you think it changes? We talked about this in the first U.S. Open Cup special. Like, I thought about quarterfinals as being where pretty much MLS shifts. Like, that's where we are going to see our best effort, or right, our best lineup. I shouldn't say effort.
So every game has at least one team from the MLS in it. One has two. So we are playing on July 9th at Sacramento. We don't know the time yet. Also, I'm guessing 7 p.m. because there's a 4 p.m. game, Indy 11 at Atlanta United. How awesome would that be for Indy 11 with everything that's been going on there? You know, with the MLS potentially moving in when the mayor has dropped out of the stadium deal they already had in place with Indy 11. That could be a huge match. New Mexico United travels to LAFC on the 10th, and FC Dallas travels to Sporting KC on the 10th.
Hmm. Wait, so who are we playing again?
Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Okay. Team we've played before. Sacramento Republic, great fans.
Republic.
Yeah, they deserve to have an MLS team, in my opinion. I did just read that Rodrigo Lopez. Oh yeah, they were the next team.
San Jose and Sacramento.
Sacramento was the next in line. Sacramento was the next MLS team before all the expansions were we had. But one of their millionaires dropped out, and they couldn't find another one. So MLS was like, "Fuck you." So, but their captain is now out for the season as of 6 hours ago. So that's a Rodrigo Lopez, their star midfielder. So that's going to be a huge hit for them. I'm not familiar with any of their other players, however.
Mm. So I saw And I'll give a shout out to Muffin Top Model, one of our OG listeners, Hall of Fame listeners. He said in our Discord, link in the show description, everybody. His opinion is go all in on Open Cup. And I have to agree.
Yeah.
We're progressing. It's a tournament. I like the trophy. Not just like, oh, I think it looks pretty. I think it's worth something. I love this tournament. The oldest running tournament in this country. Of any sport, probably? It's older than the Stanley Cup, right?
No, Stanley Cup is probably older.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean...
Isn't Lamar Hunt like over 100 years?
110.
Yeah, 110. What's Stanley Cup?
I mean, we won the Stanley Cup in 1917 and weren't even close to the first team. So we were the first American team.
Oh, okay. I was like, I thought we were.
No, first American team. So
either way.
1892-93. So it's older.
Stanley Cup's 1892?
Yeah. First awarded in the 1892-93 season. It's the oldest trophy that can be won by professional athletes in North America.
That's crazy.
They should just say in the United States.
Literally... Yeah.
Because you know what?
They only played in Canada.
Canadians haven't won it for so long now. There's no reason to even consider them having a chance. Montreal Canadiens have won it 24 times, though.
On to my next one. But anyway, yes, Tim, I agree with you. I think we should go all in because we buy our ticket into the Club World Cup.
Yeah, CONCACAF
Champions League. Champions League.
Which we're not going to be in.
Yeah, well, I want to be in it every single... Well, why wouldn't you, right? Yeah, but it's... Yeah. It's kind of like hedging our bets. Like, I still want us to make the playoffs, and I still want us to win the MLS. And I don't think the playoffs are out of the question. It's way too early to think that. It's just you're looking at, like we mentioned... the lack of identity of this club, and which we need to have right now. It's kind of like the Mariners. It's like you're kind of good, but you're not playing to your potential. Your best players aren't playing to their potential.
Oh, Julio Rodriguez
players not available
could hit. The Mariners would be one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah.
The same with the Sounders. I mean, and here's the thing: is look at the time the game is being played. July 9th. It's a Tuesday. The Saturday before we play the New England Revolution, the worst team in the MLS. A couple days later, we play Austin FC. Not a good team.
Terrible.
And then the Wednesday after, so it is another congested time, we play St. Louis City, who knows where they'll be, but they're right around where we are now. So not that great. And then the end of the month, we have a couple tough games against LAFC, Minnesota United, but, and the Minnesota United game's Leagues Cup, so that doesn't even matter. So, we should go for it. I don't have any faith that we will. I think we make it to the round after and we're playing an MLS team, we would. I just don't have faith that we will. I hope so. I really hope we do. And maybe we will. Maybe we will, because this could be part of Schmetzer saving his job. You win the U.S. Open Cup, it could make up for us missing the playoffs. Potentially. I don't think so. I think Adrian will still fire him. But it could at least save his job in the season.
Ziggy line is well before the playoffs.
Oh, sure.
But
he could make the Ziggy line and still miss the playoffs. And if he doesn't make the playoffs, they're going to fire him.
Well, that's true. Well, I mean, but based on what you were just saying, this is a different... We're in a different context. Who we are as the players we're putting out for the quote unquote Sounders in the Open Cup right now is different than a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
That context is, I think, provides why I agree with Tim is we should be the favorite because we are the MLS side. But we're putting out players that are underdogs compared to a well-oiled USL machine.
Yeah.
Especially clubs that are now progressing through a tournament during their season, just like we are. And they played together and they're not rotating. Like, this is huge for them. This could be bigger than their season, depending on where they are on the table. I don't know where Sacramento is at on the table. We should look that up. But... at this point, I think is where you step in and you say we have to go for it. And you'd like to think that we go for everything, but you can't physically, especially with our hamstrings.
I mean, I feel like I don't care about Leagues Cup. We could go for the tournaments that matter. I mean, Leagues Cup isn't that hard.
What makes Leagues Cup? What's the argument for Leagues Cup to make it matter?
I will
purse on that one.
I will explain to you that in a second. Sacramento Republic is first in the West.
Oh snap!
At 5 wins and 5 draws, they've scored 16 goals and given up 8, and they have 20 points, which would
do they have any losses?
No losses. They would be third if they were in the East because Charleston Battery, Ozzy's old team, where Ozzy was just honored.
Also a badass club name.
Yeah, they're 8-3-1, so they are behind them. And Louisville City is ahead of them in points with the game in hand as well. But obviously it's West versus East, so it doesn't really matter. Sacramento is leading the West one game up on my team, New Mexico United, my USL championship team. So have a game in hand, so they could jump up there. But yeah, it's they're good. They haven't lost a game, and they have a +8 goal differential. So they missing their star player, star midfielder, and really their captain overall could hurt them.
I presume an attacking midfielder, right? Or is he more like a JP?
I don't know enough about them this year. You know, they did just beat San Jose 4-3. They had I watched the beginning of this game and then I got tired and fell asleep. I saw San Jose go up 1-0, but then Kieran James Phillips for Sacramento scored in the 17th and 38th minute to put them up 2-1. In the 80th minute, San Jose tied it, Christian Espinoza goal, 2-2. Then they took a 3-2 lead in the 100th minute, and then Sacramento scored in the 106th and 107th minute to win 4-3. So yeah, I would expect a lot of goals. That game was in Sacramento, the soon to be home of the Oakland A's, as they're moving to West Sacramento in next season. Poor A's fans, which I thought I would never say because they've been some of the worst fans to me in my entire life and said some of the worst stuff, but they don't deserve to lose their team. Yeah, I mean, they put San Jose away. Now, San Jose isn't as good as us, but I mean, they're an MLS team. They should be winning that game regardless, and clearly had a bunch of their starters out there. You know, they either win or tie in the U.S. Open Cup, and they score a lot of goals. They're going to come out swinging, and unless the Sounders are ready with our starting 11, with maybe Georgie or someone else out there, just to phase a few players out, I don't see us winning that game. I hate that, though. Here's the other reason we have to win. If we win the U.S. Open Cup this year, we surpass the Chicago Fire, the Fall River FC, Greek American AA, Philadelphia Ukrainians, and Sporting Kansas City as a 4-time winner of the U.S. Open Cup to become a 5-time winner, tying Bethlehem Steel and Maccabi Los Angeles.
I was going to say that the Steels are somewhere in there, the Bethlehem Steel
there. Who played from 1907 to 1930. Mm-hmm. 5-time champions.
I got their kit.
Do you?
No, of course not, but that'd be dope.
Man, I bet you it's out there somewhere. I would absolutely get it because they won, let's see, when did they win the U.S. Open Cup? I don't know. It was probably the American Cup. No, that's 6-time winners. Here we go. National Challenge Cup. 1915, 16, 18, 19, and 26. And they lost in 1917. So they had a five-year period where they won 4 out of 5 years, and then they followed up 1926. So if the Sounders could get up there, then all we would need is one more to pass them. And, of course, Maccabi Los Angeles were a team that played from 1971 to 1982 at Jackie Robinson Field. Shout out to them. They were 7 times they appeared in the Open Cup in their 11 years. And won it 73, 75, 77, 78, and 81. And were finalists in 80 and 82. Damn. So they were good. Largely,
talk about like they were clearly focusing on the Open Cup.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they were a Jewish team. I can't read Hebrew, but I'm assuming that it says Maccabi on their jersey in Hebrew. So it was pretty crazy run for them too. So this is a chance for us to be in the history books as tied for first place all time as a 5-time U.S. Open Cup winner.
For Lamar Hunt immortality.
Yeah. And who's Lamar Hunt? Only the guy that made soccer possible in the United
States.
Yeah,
seriously. And soccer in Seattle, actually. Didn't the NFL, like the investors that wanted to bring NFL here, they talked to Lamar Hunt.
Yeah.
About how to bring a professional franchise, and he said you should do soccer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we have the Sounders.
I learned that from a forthcoming documentary that may come out one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should get on that.
You know. It's going to be forced to happen one way or another.
Well, what's also forced to happen is the end of the show. We got maybe 4 minutes, but
let's end on a positive note. We were just negative. Look,
You were negative.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was negative. It was on a negative note. Let's be more positive about this. We have a chance to become 5-time winners of the U.S. Open Cup. If we pass, we just got to get past this match against Sacramento. Not just. I mean, obviously, there's more games after that. Mm-hmm. But that would then lead us to a matchup, I believe, with Sporting KC or Dallas. And then it's one more game, which will hopefully be against the winner of New Mexico United Indy, but will probably be against the winner of Atlanta United LAFC.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine us stealing another trophy away from LAFC. How amazing would that be?
I see that path. I see that. Like, I just want the effort, or not the effort. Again, I said that. Don't say that. We all put in effort, right? I want the focus to be, especially the window of opportunity on the schedule that you said between, who is it? Austin after, and we have who before?
New England.
Who was it before? New England.
Caleb Porter and the last place.
Gross.
New England.
Don't say that.
Revolution.
So, like, that's the match of the week, right? Obviously, I want MLS, but you know, we've seen. I still have confidence, especially with De La Vega. Hopefully, I mean, he said he's on the injury list. He's on the injury list because he's been on the injury list. He's on the up. And he'll have, this is a month from now.
Ooh.
He should be fully fit.
You're right. So I just got big news though. You ready for this?
What?
You ready for this?
No.
Starting with the quarterfinals of the US Open Cup, they will be available for the stream on Apple TV.
Yes.
So you won't have to go watch on YouTube. You can get it on an actual 4K stream. Yay. It'll be awesome.
My like 2 grand TV, and I'm like, this stream sucks.
yeah. And get this, the winner of Sacramento Seattle match will host the semifinal round versus the winner of LAFC New Mexico United.
Oh, is there a reason for that, or just
that must
just
be how it was drawn already? But that is how it'll happen. And then the winner of Sporting KC Dallas will host the winner of Atlanta Indy 11. So I'm looking forward, hopefully, to a Seattle-New Mexico semifinal with a Seattle versus Indy 11 championship game. That would be amazing.
Are you able to see the path? Like, what are those? Maybe it's not worth talking about. To host the final, is it a clear path, or is
I
forget?
It does not say that. No. So
okay. Well, we'll get there one step at a time, Aaron.
Yeah, let's win. If we win this next round against Sacramento a month or 5-6 weeks from now, then it will. I'm sure we'll know by then.
Okay. Yeah, because that would be fun. That's the jolt of energy we need. You know, a final match. Well, I guess that would be in August, wouldn't it?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the break is anymore. I'm sure they have the date already set, but.
I feel like it was almost league.
Last year it was completion. September 27th.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So
fuck, that's kind of annoying.
It was
especially
late
for like
in the season
crawling into the playoffs. Yeah, that'd be annoying.
Yeah, yeah. It's right at the end of. I mean, it was because remember it was Miami versus Houston last time, and Houston pulled it out when it didn't look like there was going to be a chance that would happen because Miami had been so good.
And storybook, really.
Right. And for Messi to come in in his first chance, like first attempt at a free kick and score that goal to win that game. Like,
I know. I love, I mean, I love that. I can't, as a soccer fan, I love that.
Right. And I know
as yeah,
Tim
as
Hamilton is
just watching
right now.
The Beckham documentary. I love that.
Muffin Top Model's so mad right now, but you know what? I love Messi. He's one of the greatest players in the world. If not, you know, he may not be the greatest at this moment, but I would argue he's the greatest of all time, and he's playing in our league.
Yeah.
I know we have FOMO.
And he's still playing with quality. Like,
yeah, yeah, and that's it. So, yeah, I you know,
it's like, he's like Pearl Jam.
Right. Who we're going to see on Tuesday.
Well, it might be a generation removed, but they're still phenomenal live.
Yeah, although they're playing a shorter show because they're old now. But that's okay. Looks like they play.
That might have just been that show.
No. They were talking about this whole tour is going to be like that. And I won't ruin it for you, but I have looked where the first half of the show is a mix of new stuff with a couple older songs. And the last half is all a bunch of different classics. So it's what you'd expect. It's going to be a good show either way.
They don't have... Eddie writes a set list. Like...
Right, but I've looked
before the show.
I've looked at all the shows on this tour, so I have an idea of what they look like.
So you're averaging, okay?
Whatever. Yeah,
I'm fine. Pearl Jam Shuffle play for like 2 months. So mm-hmm. B-sides.
They should let me write their playlist set list. I should say.
Yeah, they should. They totally should.
And it'll just be the first three records.
Even though, yeah, I was going to say, even though on our group thread that we created today for us that's going, you're like, yeah, you just go buy merch when they play their shitty songs.
Yeah, anything off their...
You're not allowed to come anymore.
Here's the thing.
There's no such thing as shitty songs.
Here's the thing is, I don't want to go that early. What am I going to do? I'm going to be bored just so Nick can buy an $80 t-shirt. I'm going to be bored. We're going to be sitting there, nothing happening. Some opening band.
Well, we don't have to go in that early, but we can talk this. We can talk about this.
We can go in.
But we can accompany. We can accompany them to Queen Anne.
I just want to say, Nick, you're a nerd. You're
Oh, he knows it. He's
nodding
right now.
Nerd.
he's nodding right now and rubbing his nipples. He's like, yes.
And I am too, but not for Pearl Jam.
You know what he's saying? He's like, and my catalog is more expensive than yours.
Oh, barely. But you know what I will say is, I told a woman this past weekend, my friend's wife, that I'm going to see Pearl Jam. And she was like, oh, cool. Who's that?
Fuck her. I'm only 35, too. And I'm like,
oh, she's like 32. So she's not that much behind you. She should know who Pearl Jam is.
Well, I'm saying, okay. But what I'm saying is there is people that I know that are like, have fun? ? And I'm like, I also went to school with Clayton Knight of Odessa.
That's very weird.
Like, oh, I love Odessa. I'm like, oh, God damn it.
That is very weird, because it's not like Pearl Jam weren't big in 2002, 10 years after when I started listening to them in 92.
Yeah, I think early 2000s is, though, you get the rock and roll shift, the shift away from it, right?
Yeah, that's true. Late 90s,
like,
it went away.
The Killers.
Yeah, and even before that, late 90s,
Muse,
it was the move away.
Muse
from
has survived through the 2000s.
Right, but that's because
many other bands.
They went from being an awesome Radiohead parody to being like butt rock or something. I don't know. I can't get with New Muse.
Butt rock?
Yeah, it's bad.
What is that?
New Muse is terrible. Except for, even New Killers is bad, except for the one song that sounds like, Talking Heads.
Well, I'm just saying, it's for me, I can't find, and please go on the Discord and share with me a band that you like that is just rock and roll and a good just rock show, because it's just like they don't exist anymore, and that's
my
heartstrings. Yeah.
Oh, there's probably some.
Oh, I could probably, I mean, we'll talk about it while we drink, because I know I, between you and Nick, I'm going to.
But here's the thing on
suggestions
on rock music scuttlebutt here. You skipped the late 90s where it went into new metal.
Oh, like Korn?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not so my jam. So that's how far removed we got. People were listening to Korn and Limp Bizkit and that wah band.
Wah.
So I wonder if our listeners who hate when we talk about F1 are going to be down with us talking about music.
Well, hey, at least it's the end of the show, right? And then just listen to me sound like my baby in the middle of the night.
like, so just fall back asleep, please. Begging you.
If you happen to be on the internet,
the
Aaron,
hit the floor.
Where can people find you?
At AARONLINGLEY. That is on X. And we are, because James doesn't say this at the end, we are on Instagram at Sounders_Scuttlebutt. And I am actively trying.
Yeah.
To make that a thing.
Cool little
and
image.
I feel very old trying. Although I also try to be really creative.
It's interesting because Instagram is where all the old people are now. That's where
really?
Yeah.
I thought they were on Facebook.
No. Well, that's like our parents.
Which is so weird.
Yeah. No. Instagram. Everyone's on Instagram.
We
now.
Created Facebook.
Because it's, yeah. So.
Yeah. And I just did Reddit. I just created us on Reddit.
That's
so
good.
Sounders Scuttlebutt on Reddit.
Keep doing it on Reddit. That's where we'll get a lot of questions there as we go. So shout out to that. Where it's Sounders Scuttlebutt on Reddit as well. You underscore whatever the user thing is.
Yeah, I think you just.
I'm legal-minded punk on there too, by the way. So you can find me.
But me personally, I only am. I mean, I'll catch notifications on Twitter X, at AARONLINGLEY. If you want to reach out to me, you go to that. Boom. Yep.
And me, legal-minded punk, wherever you might find internet. Social media sites.
Wherever you might find internet.
Wherever you might find internet, I'll be there. Legal Minded Punk.
Alright. Go Sounders. Surpass Sacramento. And we'll see you in a month on the U.S. Open Cup special.
Right. Yeah.
See you in about a week for MLS.
Yep. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Take it away, James.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.